Praise God. I love the goodness of the Lord, the way God ministers. You ever seen when somebody hits with a baseball bat, the ball, and if it hits a certain way with that ball, there is a collision impact that puts a force with that ball, or I don't play golf, but they tell me that there is a place when that golf ball and that golf club meets together a certain way. It's called the sweet spot. When it is there, there is a whack, even with a baseball bat. And that baseball just takes off. That golf ball, it responds. All the energy and everything comes together. And I want to tell you, they say it's dynamic. They say you could feel it before you see it. When that hit and that whack happens, I know that whenever I shoot my bow and I draw back, before I release that arrow, there's a feeling inside me that that arrow is going right to the target. When I shoot my gun the same way, amen, I know exactly. Amen. There's just that confidence deep inside. Tonight, I feel the intersection of the Almighty God in this place. Amen. God is ready, amen, to do a work in hearts and lives. Amen. God's been ready to do it. Amen. I want you to lift your hands and individually and collectively in this building right now. I want you to just give the Lord just a moment, amen, to do something. We're at that sweet spot right now. Call that holy place with God. Amen. I want you to receive in the name of the Lord. Help me to receive what you have, oh God. Help me, God, to be a good recipient, Lord, which you've already paid for in this service tonight, Lord. I give you praise. I give you thanks, and I worship you, Jesus. I thank you, God, for your kindness. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy, Lord. Your ordaining power, the impact of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. Hallelujah. God be glorified tonight. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're so good to have you with us tonight. Amen, Brother Mark Newman. So blessed to have you. Amen. In the house of the Lord. Sister Whitney, so good to have you. Sister Hannah, good to have you. And a special guest next to you. Amen. We're honored that you're with us. Brother and sister, what a blessing. I recognize your face from somewhere, but we're glad you're here tonight. Amen. What a blessing to have you with us and everybody else. Amen. We're so honored that you're here. Amen. If this is on, praise God. Amen. Thank the Lord. I want to go to Romans, the fifth chapter, Romans chapter 5. I apologize that our help above is not working. Amen. Brother Robbie's doing his best to fix that. Amen. And that's just the way things go. That's all right. Amen. We've had church with that in anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Many years. Amen. And sometimes people get lazy because it gets thrown on the board and they don't know how to find it in their Bible anymore. Amen. But I believe if you're going to go to a fight, amen, you need your book. Amen. Your sword. Praise God. Romans, the fifth chapter, the scripture says, therefore, being justified by faith. What is justification? Just as if I'd never done it. I'm justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. There's faith again in the action. Into this grace, that undeserved favor wherein we stand. We don't belong here. We don't deserve to be here. But faith has got us here. And grace has allowed us to be here. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Lord, you thank over the glory of God. That hope of the glory of God, I want you to understand, is not necessarily a thing of the future. Most people think of future hope. But that hope is a present hope. An anchoring hope. The presence of the Almighty God, the glory of God is something right now. The hope of the glory of God we rejoice in. And verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. That means trials, troubles, etc. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Woo. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed in our hearts by what? Which is given to us. Somebody said, you don't need the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I need the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, that in while we were yet sinners, we were worthless. Not too many people die for a worthless person. But while we were yet worthless sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, you see that blood comes in water baptism, doesn't it? We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we're reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen. He said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. God don't want you to live a flatline life. God wants you to live an overcoming, advancing, powerful, amen, glorious life, a beautiful life. Amen. I don't want to be a dull. I want the glory of the Holy Ghost in me. How about you tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of your word, the way your word works. We give you praise and honor in your name, Jesus. Help us to have an ear to hear and a heart to receive. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. Well, we're going to talk about a lesson of love. We're going to give a love lesson. I thank God for the love notes that I find in the Word of God. Amen. Everybody reads the Bible, they see all the hate and all the judgment. Amen. Oh, I see all the love of God. I see what he's done for me, that I don't have to have judgment. Amen. I want to stand on the grace of God, the liberty of Christ. I don't want to go back and be entangled in the old yoke of a bondage that I was out in. Amen. But much has been said about love, but if you search the horizon, you would discover that most of the things written about love are cynical, or they may be something that's just written and people talk about it. But society in general can be cruel and heartless to any real virtue of any kind, any kind of virtue. In most popular venues, love is seldom dealt with in any degree of sobriety. Modern humor mocks marriages, yes, sir. Husband and wives. Mm-hmm. But they'll glorify every conceivable breach of virtue, such as sexual immorality, profanity, obscene values. Amen. You know, and that's exactly where our world's at right now. Everything that is morally straight is something that they mock, is something they despise. But I'm glad my God still, amen, loves those that love him the way he loves. Loves what he loves and hates what he hates. Amen. But real love is a mystery to most people. Most people never realize the true potential and the value of love. Neither do they learn to practice the art of loving. Man, we live in a world where love is defined by other terms. Amen. But it's poorly defined. People think they're in love, but they can't explain it. And there's a lot of confusion and cross-referencing to the terms of love, romance, infatuation, affection, tenderness, so forth, and all these emotional things. But amen, I'm glad that my love for God has more to do, amen, with God than my emotions. Amen. Amen. I'm not in this for the emotional high. I love it. But friend, that's just a byproduct of it. Amen. God has so much things with us that love is great. And a lot of people will tell you they are in love or been in love, but there's a huge disparity between one person's definition of love and another person's definition. But two of my favorite statements of love are this. Love is a choice to do the highest good for somebody. The highest good for somebody. When you love somebody, you're going to do the highest good. And when you love God, you're going to do the highest good for that person. The next thing, love in Colossians 3:14, another one. Love is the bond of perfectness, completeness. And it's that bond, that perfect bond. In other words, if you really want to be right, amen, it's saying love is the super glue. Isn't it amazing? Amen. Love will keep you together. The love of God and your love for God, amen, does amazing things. When somebody loves something, amen, there is an amazing bond. Amen. It's stronger than monkey glue, crazy glue, gorilla glue, duct tape, baling wire. Amen. The love of God is strong. It'll cause somebody to keep going on when everything is going wrong. Praise God. And the Bible says, love is that highest of all virtues. Love is noble, idealistic, but God himself is what? Love. Paul classified faith, hope, and love as being high values and virtues, but he said that love was the highest of the three. Love is essential to a perfect relationship. And what most people never realize is that true love is not always romantic. Boy, that romantic love today is what our world has begin to grow up with. We grew up with that. And romance is different from love, even though ideally they should occur together. But romance is that emotional component of love. It adds sparkle to your eyes. It adds the perfume and the colors and all that stuff. It embellishes the scenery and the music, and it's the gelding of love. Romance is sometimes becomes a mean of itself to so many people. And it becomes a cheap substitute for love for many times. So many people desire the trappings and the embellish of romance in the place of a genuine relationship. They try to buy that high. They want that romance, or they want that not permitted thing. You know what I'm talking about? And they call it love. That's not love. That's lust. But something about the love of God, that super value, amen, of God's love, not a superficial thing. Romance is superficial when it don't have the base of true love. See, romance is skin deep, but true love is heart deep. Amen. And romance requires gifts and surprises and lavishes attention. Romance sometimes demands things that contradict love. And romance condemns love when it's not eye-pleasing. I mean, romance is a type, gets rid of things that it's not pleasing to the eye. Romance often injures and degenerates true love, because love doesn't always appeal to romance's selfishness. Love is forgivers, not takers. You see, on the romance side, it's more about an individual being receiving instead of giving. It's somebody servicing you, somebody blessing you, somebody caressing you, somebody holding you. But I'm thankful, on the other hand, I get a high when I start loving God. Right. When I empty myself out to God, there is a supercharge, because, friend, you can't outgive God. You can't outlove God. The more you empty of yourself in worship and love for God, whether it's worship or lifestyle, and love for God sometimes is saying no to things. Mm-hmm. You love him, you're going to keep his commandments. That means if you love him, you're going to do his commandments. And there is a great, great thing. We have a duty to love. And that duty for love means this. Let me just say this. Amen. You have a duty to love, but you have no guarantee that you're going to be loved back. But with God, I have a guarantee. Look at your neighbor and say, we got a guarantee. When you love God, oh, the love of God is abundant. The love of God cannot be dissolved. The love of God is not cheap. The love of God is priceless and precious, and so beautiful it is. Now, I want you to think about the getters, the takers, the ones who expect to be loved first live in a different world. But when you come to God and you find it is more blessed to give than what? How wonderful it is when somebody starts loving God and walking with God. Amen. It is no chore. It is no, everybody think, why do you do that? It's because I love God. Why do you live the way you do? Why do you not do this? Well, if I know God loves it, it is no expense for me to say that's part of my lifestyle. Amen. Oh, friend, and that word holy is not a foreign term to God and loving God. You're going to be holy because he is holy. I want to be everything he is, and I want everything he has. Praise God. So love is forgivers, not takers. Think with me. It's our duty to love. We have it in our power to love, but we have no force for others to love us. But it's a folly to spend life demanding love, but never to give love. And if we're true lovers, our entire mind sets in a giving mode. It's no place for bemoaning and feeling neglect. But love is fascinating. A while ago we talked about it being a super glue. Amen. It's fascinating in so much that it draws a person into an expression of caring and concern. Amen. You have a different mindset. You'll have a concern for people. When the love of God shines in your life, when you don't deserve it, you realize you don't deserve the goodness of God, you'll start loving people too, because you can't taste of the love of God, the grace of God, without looking around and realizing, instead of judging that person, you're going to look at them and say, hey, I was just like them. And such were some of us. But we're washed, we're sanctified, we're justified, amen, by the power and the operation of the Almighty. Amen. It's amazing. Love requires the giving of oneself. It involves a self-depletion, self-exhaustion. Love is where you put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And love seeks to understand. Love cares. It puts you in somebody else's shoes. Jesus, when he came on earth, he wore the shoes of humanity. That's love. And many times when you begin to wear the shoes of somebody else and put yourself in their case, there's a difference. When you watch that man walk in and everybody says, that's a worthless individual, but yet you have a burden and a love and a concern for that soul. I don't care how filthy of a lifestyle they're coming out of. I have a God whose love is able to do amazing. He's a super glue, amen, that will get a hold of somebody and put a stickability in a person that has none at all. Praise God. Isn't God good? Amen. You see, love doesn't pass sentences, prejudges. Love doesn't jump to conclusion, doesn't throw down ultimatums. Amen. Jesus knew even Judas, what Judas was going to do, but Jesus kept on loving. Love doesn't declare war on its object. Love is tender, it's kind, it's forgiven. It's turning into another sensitivities. Love senses another's strengths and weaknesses. It uses the other person's measuring stick. Isn't it crazy sometimes we want to use our measuring stick? If they don't measure up to our measurement, then we write them off. I'm glad that God didn't do that for us. Amen. But grace is that undeserved favor of God. Amen. You don't deserve the love of God, but God did love you when you was the most undesirable, unfit individual. So I'm glad that God don't use that kind of measuring stick. But his goodness and grace. But once we come to him, we lovingly say, God, whatever it is I need to measure up and fix up, amen, you'll fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Love stretches, it bends. Love abandons pursuits that will hurt the one who is loved. Love will do without. Love will sacrifice personal whims if they're incompatible with the one that they love. And love will compromise whatever is possible. And I don't like the word compromise. But when you finally say yes to God and surrender to God, amen, when you finally say yes to God and surrender, you subject yourself to the Almighty God. Love will bail people out for the sake of survival. Well, love wants the other person to survive, even if it meant death. Love will die so somebody else can live. Don't that sound familiar what Jesus did for you? I'm thankful that we have a pure picture of the love of Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God. Now, infatuation is sometimes mistaken for romance or love. I want you to think about it. Infatuation is an extravagant passion or attraction to somebody. And infatuation may or may not do the best it can for its object. It might just be a physical passion. You see that magnetism, that physical attraction by chemistry or hormones, if you please. And an old buck deer, I like to deer hunt. But old buck deer, I mean, I watch him become silly. when he's attracted at a certain time of the year. I mean, he's crazy. He has no senses or regards. Amen. Last year, when we were hunting in West Texas in Breckenridge area, while we were sitting at our camp, Brother Craig would tell you, he was there, that Brother Clark looked over and he said, "Hey, y'all, there's a deer over there across the road." Right across the road in the neighbor's property was a deer. We got to look at it, was a doe. And she was just standing there. Well, we got to look, and with that doe was a beautiful buck. And he wouldn't leave. We have a golf cart. Brother Craig has an ATV. And we all rode. We looked at him, and he never would leave. And we said, "If he gets on our side of the fence, he's gone." Well, would you know it, the next morning when I got up, the people that occupied my camper trailer didn't want to go yet. It was too early for them. So Isaac decided to stay. And I got on the golf cart, and I looked. And on our side, the same buck and doe was standing there. I come back in. That silly buck just standing right there. I woke Isaac up, and it was so weird. It's almost like cheating. But he was out of his brain. I'm telling you, that magnetism of infatuation and hormones does something crazy. And I've seen the same thing with people. We could talk about young people, but I've seen it happen in elderly people. I've seen it happen in other people. Amen. You need to guard your affections. The Bible says, set your affections where? On things above. You hear me? One of the biggest mistakes a person can make is to get involved with a person on the basis of passion alone. Man, where are you going, Pastor? You're just talking about love and hormones. No, we're going to a greater thing tonight. But I wanted to stop right here because I feel it's necessity even to talk about it. By the same measure, you could certainly hurt anyone else for whom you don't have passion but not love. You know, and I want to say this to everybody. We stay away from passion that is not bound by the true love that God has. Love is essential to any success of any relationship. Again, it's the force that holds things together, people together. Love is a C-clamp. Love is a glue. And if you love, you sometimes you have to be patient while the glue is drying. I'm glad that God was patient with us. So when you got a new babe in the house, and that baby has been a baby, and you pick that baby up, and that baby has dirtied the diaper and the clothes on the outside, and you pick it up and you got dirty, you don't throw the baby away. And even when you start potty training that toddler, and that toddler has an accident, you don't throw them away. In other words, let's just talk about it. Isn't it amazing that love sees beyond the stench? Love goes beyond the mess that is made. And love will clean up, and love will wipe up. Love will endure the stench and the nastiness. Amen. And love will be patient. Love will be kind. Love will go the extra mile, amen, to help that person get clean. That's the love of a loving church that will reach out and love people. They may walk in with a different mindset, but I'm glad that there is a house of intensive care that's called the church. Amen. Amen. You share love. And love is not just something like a can of Pringles that you said, "No, this is mine, you can't have it." And then with Sister C, my wife, she likes Fritos and bean dip. And she has a stash somewhere. I hadn't found it. But I know it's there somewhere in that house. But it's hers. I'm glad it's hers. Amen. And she would share because she loves me. But, amen, you had to ask to get it. But we're thankful that love has an ability to invest. Love is that thing that begins to say, "I will gladly invest." People who have failed at love often resist the notion of loving again. To the person who has been hurt, love is perceived as a great source of pain. Rejection is a deadly monster that nobody wants to live with. Nobody wants rejection. And loving people sometimes becomes self-destructive when they feel that their love has been spurned. And But I find this, I'm glad that there's been times I haven't been too wise, that in my foolishness, God just kept on loving me, being patient with me, caring. And if God done that for you and I, how much more that we need to exhibit that for others? Mm-hmm. We're talking about the church and growing in love, growing in that mindset that the church becomes an intensive care unit. Somebody say amen. And I want you to think about it. And love can build a bridge across great divides. Love is more powerful than any force, because love stands and it strands and reaches out for the best interest of somebody. Love will do no evil. It's the most irresistible force ever known to humanity. When you love an adversary, the Bible says it's like taking fiery coals and pouring it on them. And love does good. And sometimes you have to love in spite. You love in spite. I love it several years ago when my daughter left the house, and I was all upset, and I'm thinking, God, I felt guilty because my child did not want to live for God. And I thought, God, I raised her in the church. I raised her in a home as a pastor, and I was very protective of Katie and Joel, and I'm telling you. But whenever she turned 18 and she went out on her own, I started feeling guilty. I felt lousy. And I started praying, God, help me. And I received a phone call from a pastor in California, Brother Vaughn Martin. Anybody's ever heard Brother Vaughn Martin? Brother Vaughn Martin, through the years, has been a blessing to me. Out of the clear blue, Brother Vaughn Martin calls, and he said, Brother Crossway, the Lord just spoke to me. I don't have much time to talk to you, but I got to deliver a message to you. He said, the Lord told me to tell you, don't feel guilty for loving your children. Man. I want to tell the church, don't ever feel guilty for loving your children. I'm thankful for the love of the prodigal's father, don't you? I'm thankful that God loved me while I was yet a sinner. Amen. That prodigal daughter, that prodigal son, that prodigal wanderer, whoever they may be. Amen. I want you to love them. You see them. Amen. Don't look at them. They may have hurt people. They may have reproach, they may have done all these different things, but who has it? We need to love them. Amen. There's people that have, amen, oh, they've hurt me, they've hurt my heart, they've hurt me as a pastor because I've done things, and the people it seems you do the most for will hurt you the worst, right? But you know what? I got to keep loving them. I got to keep reaching to them. Love will build a bridge across great divides. And I want to tell you, that drawbridge of love is amazing. Now, when I first moved to Texas, I lived in South Texas. We moved from Louisiana to a place called Sargent, Texas, by Matagorda. And right there was a old bridge called a drawbridge. And that bridge would reach out and would connect to the other side, either lower down. There's different types of drawbridges. I want to say this. I want to keep my end of the deal lowered down for whosoever. Are you thankful that Jesus don't have his ups and you can't come? But I'm thankful that the door of the Lord is open. The ear of the Lord is open. The eyes of the Lord is open. Now, we're not justified going out and sinning, but we are telling you tonight, even the church of the living God should exhibit the love of Jesus Christ, amen, to help that individual to reach to that unwanted person. Somebody say amen. That's the purpose of the love of God, the means of love. Amen. But if you don't handle love properly and rightly, everything gets out of kilter. Think about it. And if our life is not motivated by love, we become corrupt, contaminated, diseased, lesser forces. And if we don't love our spouses and our children, our family, our fellow men, amen, then we're giving ourselves up and giving ourselves to demise, different things. And as the failure to love is a form of abandonment. You know, and it bothers me that there are people that, for the sake of humanitarian aid, will go out and they will do things for other people, but they neglect their own home. And They would do great things on the outside, but their own home they don't love. They don't love that, the subjects that are there, the people that are responsible to love. Hear me, saying of God, tonight, amen. I'm thankful tonight that the love of God has reached to us, that God loves us. And the same factor, amen, we need to love our brethren and our church family. We're all different personalities. We do things differently. I'm thankful that God didn't say, okay, we're going to make cookies and we all the same, you know, cookie. No, you have a different flavor, different talent, and a different individual person, personality than I do. You have different strengths and different weaknesses in different ways. And not everybody's going to think like you, act like you, do things like you. There's some people left-handed. How many left-handed people we have here today? Here we got a few. How many right-handed people? Now, how many of you can shoot or throw a ball left and right-handed? See? We can do it both-handed. And we just tell you, that don't make us odd, but that makes us to the place that God makes us unique. And in our uniquenesses and our differences, we still got to love. What I hate is a church that wants to see the love of God outside. We want to see God save our world, but we can't love each other. And the worst thing a church could get into is to the place that our doors are supposedly open for somebody to come in. But I want to tell you, there is a hindrance and a distraction when there is not true love on the inside. When we can't love, amen, Brother Holt, like Jesus loves him, and we can't have understanding for Brother Holt, we can't have consideration for Brother Holt, hey, this is a man full of weaknesses, just like you and I are. But how easy it is for us to knock somebody else down. In other words, we do not knock, we don't shoot everybody else's lights out to make our light bright. God wants the love and the mercy of his grace to operate in his church. I need you, and you need me. We're one big family. Brother Roy, I need you. You don't know how many times, Brother Roy, you come up and you said little things to me through the years. It was a blessing. My mama has told me many times, she said, you know what, Brother Roy, she'll come to me and just talk. He'll come talk to me and it just makes my day. And just that smile. You don't know how valuable care is. Amen. You could tell people you love them all day, but if you don't care, what good is it? It's the same thing with God. You could say you love God, but if you don't love your brethren, something's wrong. Amen. God is looking for a church that has the operation of love. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Love ought to be in the house. Love ought to be in the home. Parents, love your children. Children, love your parents. It's illogical to think that we could help society at large when we're neglecting our most fundamental responsibility to our family and our friends and to our church brothers and sisters. But the circle of love always begins at home. When we love each other through the things of God, they're going to walk in and find a well-secured nest. Our world's looking for a nest. I want to just tell you something. A puzzle without a picture is just a bunch of pieces. And the picture and the vision of God's church is that the central part of it is love. I'm going to love. I'm going to bear my brother in love. I'm going to pray for you. I want to be able to pray for somebody when things are not going right. When you see them fumbling and stumbling, when you see these young people, they're going to make foolish choices. Young men, there's going to be some stumblings that you make. There's going to be some things that you do, young ladies. But I want to tell you, it's not when you fall down that everybody uses you for a mat and rub their dirty feet on top of you. It's when they love you enough to say, hey, I'm here to help you up. I remember making foolish choices. How many's ever made a foolish choice? How many's ever found yourself down? You found yourself falling apart. You found yourself, oh God, why did I do that? And the last thing on earth I need is for somebody to kick me when I'm down. when they have the ability to help me up. I need the love of God. I need the healing of God. I need the mercy of God. The Good Samaritan, beautiful story. A man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Catch this. Anytime you left Jerusalem, you have to go down. It was acclimated very high. And anytime you leave Jerusalem, you're going down. Anytime you leave the church, you're going what? Anytime you're leaving God, you're going. He was leaving, going to Jericho. On the road to Jericho, he got robbed, beaten, left wounded. It's just what the devil would do, world would do. And people that don't have the mind of Christ would do, they will wound you and leave you there, robbed. Young ladies, let's talk about it. Young guy, he may be, man, nice looking. He may have the right cologne. He may have the right twinkle in his eye. And he may have the right kind of voice that says, I love you. And make your heart just go, woo, and send off sirens in your brain. But if he don't love God, he's going to rob you and leave you by the side of the road. Young man, she may have all the different things. Carson, she may look at you and cause your heart to go melt like ice cream in a Texas heat. And you think, woo! And I mean, got you spellbound. But if she don't live for God, if she's a compromiser, amen, she'll leave you high and dry. She may say she loves you. But you know what love is? Love says, I love you irregardless. I love you. I love you. Amen. Love will cause us to say we want the things of God. Love will do things right. You don't sneak around. You don't go on the phone and send perverted messages. You don't compromise values when you really love somebody. Mm-hmm. You don't lie to their parents. You don't lie to your parents. You don't play the hypocrite. You don't play all these animals being a rhinoceros. Where snot is in there on purpose. Uh-huh. Bore your way through things. And don't be a lion. A lying lion. Man, man, that's enough. That's enough deep analogies. I'm just telling you tonight, watch it. Keep your love straight. Amen. And it's amazing that when love starts functioning, you make a commitment. Let me say this. There's some people that's had misfortunates. There's people in this audience tonight. You've had misfortunates because people that made a vow to you walked out and done other things. And it wasn't your part. It wasn't things. And a lot of times guilt begins to plague you. But I'm going to tell the saint of God this. When you say I do, that's a vow, not a contract. I had a person say, well, it's the will of God we get married. Well, it may not have been a will of God, but now it is. They married. It's the will of God. Well, young man, you see that girl, she may be beautiful today. But I want you to realize one day she's going to be an older lady. One of these days when she kisses you, she had to put her teeth back in her head. It's laughing funny now. But you know what? That's matter of fact, isn't it? That's biology. I look at pictures of some of us. When I came here 27 years ago, man, we were young. And I can remember a skit that Brother Martin and Sister Martin played. You remember that, Brother Martin? They did a skit of being the old people back in that day. They would act like they were old people. Brother Martin, you carry a cane now. You graduated, Brother Martin. What I'm saying is, you're going to love an individual more than their looks and more than all these things. You're going to love them for who they are. See, that's what Jesus says. I love you for who you are. Love has a value. And love has a determination. And love will have a commitment. The little boy is on the phone with the girl. And he's telling her, oh, honey, I love you. I'll crawl. across nails, and I'll crawl across broken glass just to hold your hand and look in your eyes. And he kept telling her that. And after a while, she said, well, you know, my mom and daddy said it's okay if you come over and help me with my homework. And he said, well, I can't. He said, it's raining outside. I'll get wet. Boy, that's cheap, isn't it? You'll crawl over nails, but you won't get the rain three houses down. I want to tell you, love will endure. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ, God, will love us. Amen. Even though we get to the place, amen, we're not too much anymore. We don't have the strength, some of us, to run around the building anymore. But we can love God with all our heart, with everything inside of us. We don't have the vocalization to scream out to the top of our lungs anymore. Amen. Even to get on our knees and pray like we used to. But our love for God is still there. And our love of God that is in our heart is still vibrant. I'm glad that God's love doesn't diminish. Love should grow. Love should continue. Amen. Love is amazing. It rejoices when other people prosper. Amen. And it's amazing. Love doesn't require equal pay. Love will work for free if it has to. Love never gives up. Love clings to the idea. Love persists through all the adversity. Love hopes and believes. Love tries hard. Love is to be like Christ. Amen. Love is passion. Amen. You know, to love in your hunger, you'll do without, but they're fed. In your want, they're filled. Love will stay when everybody else has left. Love compels a mother to cook a meal when the last meal they didn't even eat. They said it was nasty. Love compels a father to go to the job when all the forces of hell are working against him. Love compels a pastor to go back to the pulpit and preach when people turn their back on God. Love keeps us going because love is not just a feeling, but it's a commitment. You could be religious, you could go to church, you could sing in the choir, you could teach a Sunday school class. But if you don't live by love, you're like sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If God were only hate, he would have no followers. If God did not love us, we had no hope, no cause, but the love of God was toward us. And everybody, every one of us eventually will pass from this life. Everything we accumulated in life is going to be gone. We can't take houses, cars, furniture with us. Can't take money, collections. Most of the things we have stored in a closet or attic or garage will probably be thrown away because it's not important to somebody else. Our clothes will be given away. Our books and little trinkets, the things that you've got in a keepsake, little drawer at your house that you've held on for years. It may be important to you. It's not important to somebody else. It doesn't take long until everything we've ever done and everything that was important to us is gone. But there's one thing, one exception. When you leave a legacy of love, when you have loved people, everybody else may forget about you. But you're going to love those that have loved you. There are people that were in this church that had a means of love. I looked through the years, and I all through the years of 28 years of pastoring here, I look at Leon Wingate. Brother Martin, I had the best of his last years as his pastor. I had the apex of his life as his pastor. Johnny Whitten. Johnny Whitten, the first time I ever met Johnny Whitten was this. I worked with him at Southwest Canners. And his wife said, my husband is backslidden. She said, he works with you. And I started looking for a truck driver named Johnny Whitten. I worked in receiving at Southwest Canners. And one day I walked in the office, and there was a man throwing a fit. He was red as could be in his face, cussing like a sailor, throwing those arms around. That was my first meeting with Johnny Whitten. Years later, about 6 years later, I came to Central Heights to pastor this church. And there was those same arms lifted up, that same red face. But this time he wasn't cussing. He was worshiping God. men, women. I look at different ones that God has blessed us with. Sister Kathy Gilson, Sister KK, Brother and Sister Whitehead, Sister Gaynell, different heroes of our faith, Sister Stewart, different ones that I've had the privilege of being their shepherd. And because of their love for God, they stand somewhere in our hearts as being regarded. They may go and be forgotten by some of them, but from time to time, I just think about it. And my dad's been passed on. My dad passed away at 59 years old. But there's not a day that goes by that my mother does not think about my daddy. There's not a day that passes by that I don't think about my dad. You know why? Because my daddy loved me. My daddy loved me. He loved my mother. He loved my children. He loved his children. And that love left a regard in our hearts. I want to leave that love that when people come here and they leave, that they can take that love with them. When I brush shoulders wherever I'm at, I don't want them to look at a religious dude whose nose is in the air. I don't want to look them to look at a Pharisee who looks down their nose and brings judgment and executes judgment. But I want somebody to say that man has a care and a love, and there's something deep inside of him. That today when I walked in that jail, they were not having services like I mentioned a while ago. So that we weren't allowed to have our 5 services today. But they said, well, please come. We got a young man that you need to talk to. And when I get there, of all the people they pulled that young man. And when I taught him the Bible study, tears were rolling down his face. He leaned his head over on the table and begin to weep and shake all over under conviction. I'm telling you, the love of God would do a mighty work. Somebody told me, you're wasting your time going to the jail. You're wasting your time reaching the people. Well, Jesus went. Jesus said, I was in prison and you visited me not. Jesus said about going to the highways and the byways. And Jesus also said for me to love you and I. If you love him, you're going to show his love. Amen. If we fail to love, we leave nothing behind. It was amazing. Somebody showed me something. Whitney's here tonight. Her brother, his name was Alex. And Alex passed away just a few months ago with cancer. I think cancer. Wonderful man, young man, way advanced in his age, preaching the word of God, worshiping, musician, worker. And somebody said they're going to have a little thing in honor of Alex. You know, Whitney, the reason why they're doing that is because his love for God. He lived and he was the testimony. That's the reason why people are saying, hey, we want to jump aboard on this. We want to live like Alex. It's because of his relationship with the Almighty God. What do you have to give? And what do you have to leave? Are you the one that grouchy, that gripes and has always a gripe? Are you the one quick to sneer, to mock? Are you quick to judge? Are you the one that always loves and sees through the eyes of Jesus and walks in other people's shoes? Are you the one that says, it don't matter what it costs, I'm willing to pay. Willing to roll out of that bed because it's my brother and my sister who's in need. It's okay for me to do it without. You see, when you really love, sacrifice is no big deal. You'll gladly give that somebody else can receive. Stand with us tonight. The love of God is more to me than all this world could ever be. It reaches higher than heaven's throne. What's the word, Brother Newman?
reaches higher than glory and sets the violent sinner free. Oh, you're thankful for the love of God. Amen. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord tonight. Lord, help us to tune our hearts as we lift our hands. God, to your love and kindness, Lord, work and operate in us tonight. Help us tonight to love and to give. Let our love have a give to it. Let our love have sacrificial parts in it, Lord. Let our love have the ability to resist the enemy, to say no to some things. Let our love for you have a boldness and a wall that refuses to compromise and to bow to the things of the world. God, I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your grace. Bless us today to be faithful followers, and that we would grow our love. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We want to grow to heaven, how?
Yeah.
Now, I want you to greet our guests tonight. We're so blessed. Okay.